Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And he can really.
How do you acquire that skill?
He told me when he was growing up, he knew somebody. He knew somebody who was in an orchestra, essentially a German, maybe a German umpa band or something like that.
Germans.
And he asked if he could, if that guy could teach him to yodel. He could stand up there in the Lederhosen. If you get a birdie, if you are playing with Bob Tannenbaum, he will yodel. It's fantastic.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Is this thing for real about No Sackbo? Does he actually own a cupcake shop?
I believe it
is in Nashville.
Yes.
Is this for real? I'm watching this on TV now.
Appears to be
Brian Arakpo.
When you type in Arakpo into Google, the first suggested search, which obviously should be Komala, is Arakpo cupcakes.
Wow. So this is a true fact.
Yes. Yes.
Dude made a heck of a career for
himself. We're live at Chatter.
No Sackbo cupcakes.
How two
it
NFL
is not
players.
Raining yeah. right now. Yep. It is going to
Your
rain in
hurtful,
Washington, D.C. this afternoon, this evening, overnight, and through tomorrow.
Because, must be Saturday.
Yeah, because on Friday and Saturday, if you own a restaurant, you can't have any business because it's raining all the time in Washington, D.C. from April on, 40 weekends. It has rained, and it's going to rain as we begin the first weekend of the new year. I have mud.
How are you four going to make a living with no one able to come here?
My entire backyard is mud. Yeah. I carry around, and I take this out as an example.
Oh.
I carry around a tee in my pocket because my shoes, when I take the dog out, are so caked with mud. I track it all over the place. Finn,
you're not wearing
put
cleats?
Some grass
metal
in my backyard.
Yeah, metal spikes,
do something. Pineapple landscape, help me out here.
Tone, have you thought about, I went over to a friend's house who had a mud problem. I went over there on Sunday.
Oh, God.
He had astroturfed his backyard.
I don't want to do that.
It was kind of nice,
to
be honest. It was
fun to me. I don't want to do it.
Let me tell you.
Make it a putting green.
I would make mud. I have standing water. Standing water. Been 3 weeks. Just
so
essentially
awful.
A
can you pave it, maybe? Would that be a good look?
I can pave it. I don't want to pave it.
Let me tell you, you can get away from the tea thing. Before you go out, just make sure you don't do this in your kitchen. Make sure you're outside before you do it. Spray the bottom of your feet with Pam or any sort of cooking spray or just rub them with olive oil. Keep all the mud and dirt off.
Is that right?
Yeah, it might be a little slippery.
I was going to say, can you then throw the Frisbee to the door?
Like you can.
He's
yes.
angling for you to have a fall here, Tony.
It sounds
Gary
suspicious.
Bruin is here. Chris Saliza is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is going to produce the show, run the board, do the news. We have a gift from Michael. This came from Justin Johnson in Arlington, Virginia. We talked a lot about socks.
Socks.
There's a picture
the
of
socks.
Me and no. Justin Johnson. I'm giving to Michael a nice new pair of socks for Michael.
It's a pair of socks with,
pictures.
With faces.
Yes. From Greg Campbell in Malta, New York. Yes, enclosed is a little gift for Saliza. I know how much he loves Hoya basketball.
Oh,
when I saw this signed photo, I knew it would be perfect for him. Hope the entire crew has a holiday season filled with joy and love.
Okay.
I have not looked at this.
Okay, here we go.
It does
I
say
have.
This will be terrific.
Yes.
So this is great.
What is it? I haven't looked at it. What is it?
Well, it's a signed photo of Eric Devendorf.
Oh, I know you hate him.
What's interesting about
Hitting
that? This picture is, I guess it's the one picture where he doesn't have his prototypical every male in Syracuse chinstrap beard.
Looks like he's about to get
but
his shot blocked.
You feel good about that, don't you, in a strange way?
I do. I'm going to donate this to the trash can as soon as it comes in.
I thought it was pretty nice. Let me do one serious thing, and then that is offer our condolences and our sympathies to Bob Harvey, who's one of the managers here who lost his brother. He has our great feeling. He's a wonderful man, and so we feel very sad for that. I'll go on. I'll start the show in sports. James Harden. I'm going to start with James Harden because we had to do this yet. Well, we didn't have to. We wanted to do this on the PTI show. The Rockets were in Golden State last night, and the question was, who is this game more important to, the Rockets or the Warriors? And I said, it's not at all important to the Warriors. They don't care. They've won three. They've been in the finals 4 years in a row, and they've won three championships, and they know what they can do. And they're obviously just sort of daydreaming through this season now, which is their right. And Wilbon says, you're not paying attention and you don't understand what's happening. And this is very important. And it isn't. Nothing in January can possibly be important to a team that has won 3 out of the last 4 championships. Wilbon's position is crazy. In any case, I said it was important not to Houston, but to James Harden, because he was going for his 5th straight 40-point game, which he got last night. Did he have 44?
44, I believe.
He had 44 points. And in overtime...
44.
In overtime, due to a James Harden 3-point shot, which
pretty
was
ridiculous.
Totally contested, right. And a great shot, totally contested, Houston won the game. They're 11-1 lately. They won the game 135-134. Golden State blew this game. They were up 18 points at the half. We can talk about Golden State relative to Houston. These are two very good teams. We can talk about the fact that without Chris Paul, who's been injured for a couple of weeks, and without Carmelo Anthony, who was a disaster and is no longer playing basketball, right. I have no idea. I have no idea what he's doing. That he's being paid by Houston to stay away.
Yeah.
Without them. Shot.
No Eric Gordon either.
Without them, somehow Houston seems to be better than ever. And we can talk about that. But what I want to talk about is an ESPN, somebody on ESPN who I guess covers Houston or covers the league. I don't know his name.
The league.
He was reporting that he was quoting people or quoting himself. And he said,
the best kind of quote.
You can make the case that this is a direct quote. You can make the case that Harden is the greatest offensive player of all time, unquote. No, you can't. Mm-hmm. Nobody can make this case. This is insanity that James Harden is the greatest offensive player of all time. Will Chamberlain averaged 50 points a game for a full season. You're going to tell me that James Harden is more of an offensive threat now than Will Chamberlain was then? Are you seriously going to say that? Are you seriously going to say to me that James Harden is a more complete and greater offensive player than Michael Jordan? Who in his right mind is going to say that?
I'm going to sound like you when I say this, but someone under 35, maybe. Someone who knows it's true because they watched the game on their phone. Did you lose your tee?
No, I lost a pen. I lost a pen.
Tone, the only thing that I can think of is...
You have to have some sense of history.
My theory would be that he's talking about maybe the most efficient offensive player.
He was 13 for 32 last night.
I know.
Hold it. Let's do the math on that. 13 for 32 is under 40% from the field.
And I would assume Will had to be more efficient because he's shooting so close to the hoop.
Over 50%. I mean, all the time is my
and missing all his free throw. I mean, imagine how prolific a score he would have been.
You can't say this. You cannot. Gary, I understand what you're saying. In the moment you say that. But
I don't say that to defend it.
In order
to
say something of all time, you have to take into consideration of all time.
Yes.
Of not this week. Of not the fact that he's over 44 in a row. Stop it.
I mean, he might.
That's crazy.
You could strongly argue he's not the most prolific, prolific offensive player? Was that the phrase? You could strongly argue he's not that.
The greatest offensive player of all time.
I mean, you could argue that he's not even that in his era.
I will take Kevin Durant and Steph Curry over him every single day. Every single day I will do that. So I just looked at that. Did I mention we were at Chatter?
What's Chatter, Tony?
It's a restaurant. It's a full-service, for-profit restaurant. Huh. Hello to all the people that have come for breakfast. Yeah.
Come get you some.
And haberdashery.
And by the way, we will be here Monday evening at 6:30, not Monday morning.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You are right. There doesn't appear to be a justification for that argument, even close. I will say...
He's a very good scorer.
I believe he messed around and got a triple-double in addition to the 44. He had 15 assists.
And, by the way, a game, to your point, no, not that Anthony would matter, but...
No Chris Paul.
No Paul, no Eric Gordon. I mean, there wasn't a lot to defend on the Rockets.
He's the MVP.
And he went and did what he did.
He's the reigning MVP.
He's great.
He's a great player. Yeah. He's not the greatest offensive player of all time. He's not.
No.
Anyone that would say that is not considering all time. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and you say Wilt, and I think that's indisputably true. But we could probably name four to five other people off the top of our
head. I'd take Kobe Bryant.
Yes. I would take Michael. I would take Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan as an offensive.
I mean, to Gary's,
LeBron James.
It would be interesting to see. We don't need to talk about this any more than this, but it would be interesting to see Carmelo Anthony, who I think is one of the most natural scorers of all time, at his prime.
Yeah, it's great. Player.
Versus Harden. Harden may be just, better all round player. I just don't, in terms of that, that was amazing to me.
Certainly better. All-round.
Kawhi Leonard, who figures into these discussions for great players, he returned to San Antonio last night, as did Danny Green. Danny Green was cheered before and after going 0-7 for Toronto because he was no factor in the game. Kawhi Leonard was booed.
They chanted traitor at him.
I will say this. I would boo him too. He utterly rejected San Antonio.
Yeah.
He may very well have manufactured an injury. Mm-hmm. He certainly engineered his own trade. He wanted to get out of there. He let down his teammates. He didn't, in my opinion, validate his contract. He's a great player. If you want to leave, leave. And by the way, that you know that's as good a trade as you can make for a guy who's only going to be in Toronto for 1 year to get DeMar DeRozan. Oh, yeah.
And DeRozan was triple-double out for blood himself.
And he got a triple-double. Yes. They both had 21 points, but DeRozan had a triple-double. And Toronto won easily. San Antonio won easily in that game.
They were up 50-25.
And Greg Popovich, after the game, said, I felt badly about how he was received, about how Kawhi Leonard was received.
Did he?
My feeling is...
Guy made himself a villain.
Yeah, my feeling is that it's okay. When LeBron James left Cleveland the first time to go to Miami, I'm not saying you should burn his jersey, but you should certainly boo him. He walked out on you. If Bryce Harper goes to Philadelphia, he's going to get booed when he comes to Washington. He should.
I have a booing question. So we're at the Home Run Derby. And Freddie Freeman, who by all accounts is a really good guy.
Nat killer.
I'm with my kids.
You boo him.
And I booed him mercilessly.
Should be throwing batteries.
Right. And my wife went, my wife was very unhappy with booing Freddie Freeman because he's a Brave. And I feel like booing in sports is fine.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
You cheer and you boo.
Take that,
I don't think you throw batteries.
I was right
people.
Again.
I don't think you do that, but you have every right to. Now, some people, if they leave after a very, very long career and they leave because it's sort of mutually agreed upon, then you don't boo them. It's okay. Everybody sort of understands. It's okay. It's not a terrible
When the thing. Redskins play Kirk Cousins next season, I'm not sure if that's home or away, but the Redskins do play the Vikings next year.
Well, does that mean all the Minnesota fans will be in FedEx? Will they boo them?
That's true. So I was going to say, the 6,500 Redskin fans that go to FedEx.
When we come to the season. I think you boo them.
When Gary becomes
a co-host.
It's not the
same in football. You're not introduced in the same
when
way.
When Saliza walks in the studio every day.
It's the five players, and it's, you know, this big deal when you get on the court. Of course, you know, and the way he left, he's a villain.
Yeah.
Would you, one other booing thought. Do you remember when Eric Gordon was at Indiana? I believe he threw over Illinois in the recruiting process. He's from Illinois, and they booed him. Is it okay to boo a college kid?
Yeah.
Good man.
For that. The other day when they booed Paul George for the crime, the high crime and misdemeanor of not going to L.A., he was never on the team.
Right. Being from California and not playing for the Lakers.
That's okay. That's okay to me. All of that stuff is okay. All right, let us get out of here. We will have Mike Freeman when we return, and we'll talk about the NFL. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Lowe's ad, and I say this all the time, that it's my favorite ad. It is my favorite ad because it is written very, very well. It is aimed and targeted at a very specific audience. It's so well done, and my read is so dopey because I have no mechanical skills, absolutely none. Yeah. My only skill when I need something done is to get on the phone and look up worker man at 411 and call. Lowe's is my new go-to destination where I or you can explore the latest innovative Craftsman products, including their new V20 power tool battery platform. Craftsman's V20 cordless power tool lineup features a high-capacity lithium battery that's part of Craftsman's interchangeable battery system. So it works with all tools in their V20 lineup, giving you the runtime you need, which we talk about at home all the time, and the power you deserve. The one battery system works on multiple products, making the V20 lineup easy to use and versatile. V20 brushless power tools are proudly made in the United States with global materials in Charlotte, North Carolina. all have brushless motors delivering high efficiency, better runtime, more power, and greater durability for all of your projects, and I emphasize your. You can come explore the entire Craftsman V20 lineup at your local Lowe's store, or you can visit Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony, because Lowe's is the new home of Craftsman.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Dan Byrne. We've played his music before. The name of this song is the Year by Year Home Run Totals of Barry Bonds.
1986, he hit 16 home runs. Then 25, 24,
1933.
This is great. He says, I love the show. Yeah. I live in California, but the next time I'm in D.C., I want to see the show live at Chatter, of course. Listening to Tony and the gang is like hanging with friends. Friends who are very smart about sports. Dan Burns, a wonderful idea. The year-by-year home run totals of Barry Bonds. Mike Freeman joins us now of Bleacher Report, and we're going to do the sponsoring thing.
Oh, that's right.
It's time for NFL Cleanup, sponsored by the Purell brand, the new Purell singles. Before I get, I got a cough, hold on.
Go ahead, Tony's coughing.
Yeah. Before I get to the football stuff, I need to ask you this because you're employed by Bleacher Report. When the Phil Mickelson Tiger Woods thing went sideways with Bleacher Report, even though I got it and loved it, did you lose any money personally? Was your salary docked because there had to be a makeup on that?
I didn't even know that. What are you talking? I didn't even know anything about this. So I guess not.
Do you remember that golf match, the one-on-one about a month ago between Tiger and Phil? That was a production.
After Thanksgiving, I think.
Yeah, right? That was a production of Bleacher Report. And you could go on BR Live to get it. And so many people went on. There was a problem with it loading. And so instead of paying $24.99, everybody basically got it for free. So I just wondered if all the employees had their pay docked.
Well, we were just being generous. That's okay. The kind of place we are. We want people to, you know, we're nice people. So we gave it for free. That's how we roll, Tony.
That's very
nice. What's wrong with that?
I'm glad to know that you're still employed and making money and not just employed. Now we get to the NFL, and we'll start. There are three names. We're going to take them in this order: Antonio Brown, Eli Manning, and Reuben Foster. And the question is simple with each one. What do they do? Antonio Brown, what do they do?
Antonio Brown has become just a really fascinating case because he clearly is trying to force his way out of there. And so far, I mean, this could completely change, but so far, the Steelers have no interest in trading him. He's just too good, and their salary cap ramifications would be pretty significant. But Antonio Brown looks determined to just really kind of screw things up and force their hand. And if you're the Steelers, you just kind of sit tight and hope things calm down, because it's the end of the year and emotions ran high, and you're hoping that things sort of relax to calm down, then Tomlin makes some changes, and then everything just sort of chills a little bit. But he seems determined to really kind of force their hand and make them do something. So far, though, Tony, they're not going to do anything so far.
Okay, Mike, these are not the Redskins. These are not the Browns. These are the Steelers, among the best organizations historically in the NFL.
Yes.
They're going to lose Le'Veon Bell. And they've lost him, and Antonio Brown in one fell swoop. Antonio Brown, he's hateable with what he's doing. What is this?
A lot of it is, some of it is just, is Tomlin has allowed these guys for years sort of get away with this kind of behavior and not really punish them. And some of it is generally not, there's nothing he can do about it. It reminds me of a scene from Airplane where Kareem Abdul-Jabbar says to that kid, you tell your old man to drag
his butt up and down the court.
Lanier's.
Right,
yeah.
Right. There's really no one that could coach that locker room. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is no peach to coach either.
No, he's a total diva.
He's a total diva. He's worse than Antonio Brown in a lot of ways. So there's no one that can really control that locker room, because some of the players they've drafted are just that difficult to sort of wrangle. And Tomlin hasn't helped. But it's not all his fault. So they're in a really brutal spot here, because they've relied so much on this talent and they're so good but they also, these guys are just, some of these guys are just knuckleheads and just don't get the whole concept. So they're in a really tough spot.
Okay, Eli Manning, what do they do?
I think they're going to get rid of him. I mean, it sounds like it. And there's some good quarterbacks they can draft. They're going to be picking high next year. And you see how teams no longer are afraid, Tony, of just turning things over to a young guy. You saw what happened in Kansas City.
Right.
You see what happens in Baltimore. They could draft someone and be completely comfortable with doing it and taking their shot. I think Eli's done. Eli's not like some of these other older quarterbacks who seem to be prospering as they get older. He's just like, looks like a different guy. I mean, he just looks completely shot. I think the organization knows it, and they're going to do their best to try and find a way of getting out of this. And I wouldn't be shocked if Eli ended up in Jacksonville.
That's what I think, with Coughlin.
Not that he's that much better than Bortles, but he is. And Coughlin likes him, and Coughlin thinks he can get something more out of him. So I think he's gone out of New York.
All right, Reuben Foster, what does the NFL do now?
Well, the NFL always says it will conduct its own investigations regardless of what happens with court cases. And you know how those things go, man. It's like potluck. Who knows?
Yep.
Sometimes they get them right. Sometimes they completely screw them up. So the NFL is going to continue to look at it on its own and see what happens. It's going to be hard for them to do something now that the charges have been dropped, but they're going to still do what they always do, conduct their own look, and then come to their own conclusion. And my guess is, because the charges were dropped, there's not a whole lot they can do, and he moves forward.
Okay. There are 8 openings in the NFL, 8 different guys, 2 in the regular season, 6 afterwards were fired. I said this the other day here. I have sympathy with only one person. That is the Arizona coach. I didn't think he got a real chance. I'm wondering what you think about most of these coaches and most of these jobs. Which are the good jobs? And the secondary part of this question is, why would anybody work for John Elway? Why would you do it?
That's a great question. You know, what's funny about the openings now is that the traditionally, recently at least, really bad franchises like Cleveland and the Jets are the best jobs now. Cleveland is a great job.
Yes, Cleveland looks pretty good now. Yes.
It's a really good job. You got Baker Mayfield. They got some talent on that offense. That defense is pretty good. I mean, that's a really good job. And the Jets have a young quarterback, too, who looked pretty good at the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm not as crazy about him as I am about Mayfield.
No, I mean, I understand that. But there's some talent there you can work with. And those two jobs are really, really good. Elway has been... I mean, the one decision he made that was obviously really good was getting Peyton Manning to go there. But really, I mean, if you look at his tenure, it has not been good at all.
No.
And he has no patience.
No. Why would you work for him? No.
I don't know. I mean, the answer to that is these jobs are just so rare and so big, and you make some good money, and an NFL coaching job is just something that's special to a lot of these guys. They roll the dice and take the chance. But, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he's brutal to work for, just brutal.
Yeah.
And whoever goes there, you just go in knowing your tenure is going to be potentially very short if you don't turn things around very quickly.
It's interesting. We'll take Patrick Mahomes, who was a first-year starter, and the 5 rookie quarterbacks, all of whom started for their teams. I thought Baker Mayfield looked really good at times. I thought Josh Allen by the end of the year was a significant threat. And clearly Lamar Jackson is impossible to defend. You don't know if he's a good thrower yet, but he's impossible to defend. And this to your first point about Eli Manning, that teams now are willing, they're willing to give a kid the whole car to drive, right? That's unusual.
Yes, and sometimes they don't have a choice, and sometimes they really just feel very comfortable. Patrick Mahomes is a really interesting case. I mean, you know, it looks, in hindsight, obviously looks like it was a really smart move, and I thought it was a smart move at the time. But getting rid of Alex Smith and turning it over to Mahomes was a huge gamble.
Yes.
I mean, Andy Reid saw him in practice and knew what he had. We didn't really see all of that. But Andy Reid knew what he had. But still, Alex Smith is a solid guy who gets you into the playoffs. He doesn't get you far, but he gets you there. To turn it over to a guy so young and then to coach him the way he's coached him, to let him run free, let him do what he wants, and then the guy have 50 touchdowns. 50 touchdowns in his, as his first year as a starter is just, I mean, it's remarkable. And we just sort of take it for granted. We just watch this guy do this stuff, and we go, wow. And, but still, what Andy Reid did there was really intriguing. And in Baltimore, too, with that quarterback, I mean, that guy, I get a lot of stuff wrong, but I got that guy right. I mean, that guy can play. And look, people say he can't throw the ball. He can throw the ball. He can. They're just not want him to do as much now, but he can throw it just fine. And he can throw it well. And you combine that with his running threat and that defense, and that team is really, really scary. They're going to be one of the scariest teams in the playoffs.
So what is interesting about that to me is that there's another person we haven't even mentioned. Like, Patrick Mahomes can't be Rookie of the Year because he played the year before. He just didn't play very much. The other quarterback who came back from the end of the earth is Andrew Luck.
Yes.
I mean, Andrew Luck is really good again. He was throwing a Nerf ball a month before the season started, and now he's throwing the regulation Duke out there. He knows what he's doing, and he looks great, Mike. He looks great.
He looks really good, and you see what happens when a team, you know, like, drafts offensive linemen, and they can protect quarterbacks. And they draft good offensive linemen.
Boring.
It's boring.
Yeah, Wilbon hates it.
Boring. Really boring. Yeah. But you protect your guy, and you don't have him get hit 1,000 times a game. This is what happens. He's a very talented player. He always has been. He's just been hurt because he would get blasted every game. So now they protect him, and he can. But I still don't know what the hell. I still don't know what the hell happened to him. I know it was his shoulder, I still don't understand what exactly he came back from. But it was a real brutal journey for him. But he's made it, and you see what happens when you give him time. Give him time. He's already got weapons there, and they got a little bit of a defense. So it all came together, and he's been a really remarkable story.
The emerging superpower that Freeman called 4 years ago, and then had to eat it for a while, is back on the table.
I was going to get it right eventually,
yes,
Tony.
So this is to me, with all of the terrible things that football provides in terms of personal injury and maybe automatic brain damage. Maybe. We don't really know that one way or another yet, but maybe. Yet it seemed like a very good year for the NFL, Mike. It did. Seemed like a very good year. Ratings were up. People were involved in the games. There were these emerging star players, mostly at quarterback, and also Saquon Barkley is fun to watch. It seemed like a good year, not a year following the path of doom that we have been accustomed to lately, or am I wrong?
No, you're 100% right. It was actually a remarkable year for the sport.
And is it, in fact, Donald Trump we have to thank for that?
Yeah, it was definitely him. Him. And he will tell you that, too, yeah. I'm sure. It was a remarkable year. And one of the things that's happened is, I think you're right about the head trauma. I'm not sitting here as a brain surgeon, obviously, considering I said the Colts were a future great team. I'm definitely not a brain surgeon, but from everything I've covered about this and understand about this and read about this and interview doctors about this, when you play the sport, it does damage to you.
Looks like
your
it does.
Brain, to your mind.
Looks like it does.
But what's happened is that I think people have forgotten about that or overlooked it or just let it sit off to the side and enjoy the games. When guys do stupid things off the field and get arrested and do criminal things, bad things, people take that and they set it over here on the shelf and they enjoy the games. That's where I think, where I thought the NFL would be hurt is that all these really dangerous things that hurt the sport all, and they were hitting the sport all at once, would drag it down a little bit. But it hasn't.
Not this year.
People have determined, I'm going to set it off over here and these games are good, I'm going to watch it. And the games have been fantastic.
Yes,
they have these emerging stars coming forward. That has really helped them. So it was a really, really, really good year for them this year.
All right. Where are you going to be? What's your game this weekend?
Let's see, Seattle. Seattle, Dallas is one of them. That's going to be, I think, one of the best games of the day. And Russell Wilson continues to be underestimated. He is a terrific player, and I made this mistake this year. I didn't think the Seahawks would be any good this year. And here they are again, back in the playoffs, mainly because of Russell Wilson. They got the running game going, so that's where I'm going to be. And sorry I sound like Kermit the Frog and Darth Vader had a baby.
Oh, it's an image.
All right, thank you, Freeman. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys, thank you.
Mike Freeman, boys and girls. I've always, you know, I worked with him at the Post. I've always liked him. He grew up in D.C. I think his mom was a teacher in D.C. I think so. So
did he go to Delaware?
Yes.
To play?
Yes.
Did he play there?
Yeah, I think he played. Yeah. He played at Flacco. I think he played Delaware. No, he's older than Flacco. So we will take a break and we will come back with news.
That's right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And we continue the rest of the Purell ad. Cold and flu season is here, just in time for the holidays. We're traveling more, catching up with friends and family, the whole nine yards. And when we're connecting with so many people every day, it's easy to spread these seasonal illnesses. That's why I use Purell products, including new Purell Singles hand sanitizer packets. These new single-use packets are super portable, super convenient, and they kill more than 99.99% of most common germs that can make you sick. Purell is the brand that hospitals trust most to keep patients safe from infection, and the same germ-fighting formula doctors use goes into every Purell Singles packet. Here's the best part. They go everywhere. Take a handful, put them in the car, put them in your pocket before you leave home. They're individually sealed. There's no mess. Each packet has the exact amount of sanitizer recommended by the CDC. And who knows more about cold and flu season than the CDC? So as we head into the new year, do yourself a favor and stock up on new Purell Singles hand sanitizer packets on Amazon. And right now, there's a special offer to listeners of this high-quality podcast. If you go to www.purell.com/TonyK, that's www.purell.com/TonyK, it will link you directly to Amazon and our new four-pack of Purell Singles. Mm. Just type in this site. It will take you to the product page where you will receive at least 10% off this great new product. They can help you stay healthy and get the most out of every day. Your well-being is important. Protect it with America's number one hand sanitizer brand. And don't forget to head to www.purell.com/TonyK to get your Purell Singles on Amazon today.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Mark Edgar Stewart in Memphis, Tennessee. And this first sentence, I'm reading the rest of it. First sentence goes like this. I work part-time at Sun Studio. Okay, well, that's
bad.
Okay.
Have they done anything in that studio?
He's got our attention.
Had a customer come in yesterday raving about your show and this song of mine that he had been a fan of and said I should send it to you. Long shot, I know. You'll probably never open this, but here's to Hail Mary. It's been a regional hit here in Memphis. Video got about 20,000 views. It's a tribute to my father called Remote Control. About a time before technology when kids were the remotes for their parents. This song always makes folks cry. I included a video and an MP3 plus my website, which is markedgarstewart.com. For people that want to send in their music that is played in its entirety at the end of the podcast and is used as bumper music to introduce segments, Michael, tell people like Mark Edgar Stewart how to do this.
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And in honor of the fact that Michael was disgusted when I asked what we were selling in the first week of January, I will not even ask.
I have something to sell.
Oh, you do? What?
Yes.
What?
This is
selling dreams.
The end of the first week of January, so let's make sure we're working towards those New Year's resolutions. Make sure you go to shop.tonykornheiser.com, where you can get the aspirational Reset the Board Nigel t-shirt.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
That's a good one.
Do you have those in extra, extra small? Asking for a friend.
Yeah. Yes, I do. I have in medium as well, if you would like. And are we selling the machetes still?
No, we're not selling
those.
No, we're not selling
them. Must be sold out. Sorry about that.
Those were a hot seller.
They were very, very, like hotcakes. Yeah. Mr. Tony, we'll start off with college basketball, but on the women's side. Big upset last night as the UConn women were beaten by the Baylor Bears, right?
A very good team.
Baylor.
Yeah. Coached by Kim Mulkey, who was an All-American player herself. They've been in the top 10 for the last 8 or 9 years. And so Baylor, the significance of this It was the first time in 126 games that Connecticut was beaten the regular season, going back to 2014.
Yeah, you and overtime loss to Stanford. Stanford's
always
great.
They said that they were interviewing the two of the Baylor players at the end of the Holly Rowe was interviewing them at the end of the game, and she said, "What's it like to have beaten UConn for the first time in the regular season since 2014? And I turned my office like, she must have misspoken.
That's wrong.
I mean, it's 2019 now. How was that?
Isn't that something?
Hashtag
fire
Geno.
They held Connecticut to 29% shooting.
Yeah, hashtag fire Geno.
Yeah, fire Geno.
Oh, yeah, I think definitely has to be a conversation, right? Geno. What's going on?
Trending.
Last time they lost in by double digits, by the way, was in 2012.
Wow. I mean, it's just they're the greatest.
Yes.
It's them the greatest
and everybody
college
else.
Program.
Yes.
They're
not
the
even
greatest
close.
College program.
Did he lose sleep?
No.
Was he losing sleep last night?
No.
First.
But he hasn't won the championship in 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, he's been beaten twice in the tournament last 2 years, I believe.
You think there's a booster calling him saying, hey, Geno,
what's going on?
Time to go.
And now a topic I know you follow very closely every single year. Of course, I'm talking about the voting for the NBA All-Star Game, Mr. Tony.
This is absolutely amazing to me. And I talked to Wilbon about this yesterday, and he totally justified it. Totally justified it. Derrick Rose, who is now a part-time player, a sixth man on the Minnesota Timberwolves, hardly the media capital of the world, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Derrick Rose, in the voting for All-Star Guards Western Conference, is second.
Yes.
He's behind Steph Curry. He's ahead of James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
Wow. By quite a bit as well.
And Wilbon says, well, people hate them. They hate Harden and they hate Westbrook. Well, maybe they do, but this is unfathomable to me that Derrick Rose is second.
Yeah, he has just shy of 700,000 votes.
It's amazing.
I feel like you see that in baseball sometimes, where the Cubs, every starter is the Cubs. But in basketball, usually, you don't see that kind of odd choice. And by the way, people don't hate James Harden enough to think that Derrick Rose should start over.
If they put Derrick Rose on the team in honor of the fact that he's had a very, very troubled career in the sense that his body let him down. He was the MVP at the youngest age of all time.
He's a great player.
He's a great player. If they put him on that team in a ceremonial vote, I'm good with that. But if you're making this vote, how do you say that he's ahead of Harden and Westbrook?
Obviously, Russian
or
hacking.
Or Lillard or a lot of
hacking,
these guys.
Bots. Explain it.
Yeah. Wow.
To give you the top five for those guards, it's Curry, Rose, Harden, Westbrook, and Elizabeth Warren. So.
What is Minnesota attendance like? And showing my age, is it still? I mean, it's got to be all done online now, right? It's not like you go to the game, there's a paper ballot in your seat.
I think it's all online.
Yeah,
I
was gonna say, you know, maybe if they're there's some push at their games and they get tremendous attendance,
they get tremendous attendance. I'm looking.
Yeah. They got Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins.
Well, they got rid of Jimmy Butler, and they're 17,056 a game.
Yeah, that's what they
more
get.
More than the Redskins.
No.
But normally you're allowed to vote more than once.
Yeah, you can keep voting.
Right.
Maybe there's just who's pressing the button 24 hours a day for Derrick Rose.
D-Rose, I got your back,
by the way, just for the record, to contextualize that, their attendance for the 2018-2019 season is 29th out of 30 teams in the NBA.
Okay.
Really? Do you want to guess who's last? It's kind of interesting. It's not the worst team. Who's last?
I would have said
the Heat.
I would have said the Nets.
The Nets. You would be right.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. The Heat. No, the Heat are fifth from the top.
They got loyal people.
Yeah.
76ers number one. 76ers, Bulls, Raptors, Mavericks.
Really?
Heat, Warriors, Cavs, Trailblazers, Knicks, Lakers. That's the top 10. Celtics are 11. That's kind of interesting.
But they sell out. They just don't have the capacity.
That's based on the average number, right? Some of that's based on how big your arena is.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be. Okay, go ahead.
I know you touched on this with Freeman. Did you want to talk any more about Reuben Foster and the charges being
dropped? Yeah, my own position on this is that the NFL is not the court system in the United States. Your rights as an NFL player do not correspond with your rights in the court system at all. It is a private corporation. They are free to make their own rules and levy their own punishments. They are free to do that. Okay. So at this point...
And also conduct their own investigation.
Yes. Yeah. They have the capacity to conduct their own investigation. Clearly, the Redskins conducted their own investigation by talking to three or four people in Tampa.
Who might have.
Right. Yeah, Bruce Allen talked...
bellhop and
yeah, they talked to three or four people.
Hey, have you ever heard of Reuben Foster? No. No, it sounds good.
But the NFL has the capacity to do this. If they want to investigate... And by the way, there's a far better chance that more people will talk to them without being under subpoena or without being under oath, then we'll talk, you know, in a legal context. If they want to pursue this and they then want to, release their results so that there's no sense that you have that they phonied this up and they want to keep Reuben Foster out, they have the right to do that. But at this point, if he's not going to be charged in the court at all because of the fear of insufficient evidence, and he served five games of what would be at least a six-game suspension, because that's what's on the books for domestic violence, six games, then my feeling is they have to let him go to camp. That's the way I feel. Well, How do you feel?
So he has, correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is he has not served five games. He was on whatever that list is, the commissioner's
list. If I was his lawyer, I would say
you could make
this
that
is
argument,
time served.
But,
yes. This is time served.
But the NFL would say, well, that was before we conducted our investigation. The NFL does not want this dude to play for the Redskins, certainly come the season.
I agree with that.
The NFL was upset that the Redskins picked this guy up off of waivers versus letting him clear. And they're going to do everything within their power, I imagine, to ensure that this is fully investigated. And if they had their choice, it's going to end in some sort of penalty, provided it's defensible. That's what I think the NFL's position would be.
I think they need to let him go to camp now while they investigate him.
I think you can let him go to camp, but I think he will be suspended games.
Yeah, okay. Letting him go to camp.
I mean, let him go to camp
is far cry from
practice
playing.
Versus going out there and playing.
But they're gonna investigate it, and they will if they find anything, they're gonna share it because they have to share. Angry.
I mean, it is worth noting this is the second time. Well, in 2018, it was two times he was charged with domestic assault. Now it was against the same woman. She dropped the charges the first time. They failed to prosecute the second time. But he was a somewhat of a troubled problem child in college. I mean, this is not a one-off.
They have a weapons charge on him. I'm not saying that he is a wonderful human being or that the Redskins should have picked him up. But at some point, absent any conclusion by the NFL to the contrary, I think you got to let him play. It's me.
Yep.
We'll take you to the Pac-12, Mr. Tony. It's not been a great clown show. They have not had a team in the college playoffs in the last couple of years. As of right now, there are no basketball teams in the top 25.
They're going to be a one-bid league.
Yeah.
The league of UCLA is going to be a one-bid league. UCLA fired Steve Alford.
Yes. Yeah,
Steve Alford, the only thing that recommended him was that theoretically he was getting the entire Ball family
and now
to go
he's
to
not
UCLA.
Down there with
yeah. Right. So what do? You hire a PR firm,
that's
Mr.
Exactly
Tony.
What you do.
Fleischmann
Clean this
Hillard.
Up.
Yeah, Fleischmann
exactly
Hillard, whose clients include
Get us
AT&T,
in the playoffs.
GM, and JP Morgan Chase.
Get us in the playoffs.
Yes. Our shared interest in a strong Pac-12 brand is a strategic priority, given the brand's impact on the valuation of our collective media and sponsorship rights, blah, blah, blah.
One of the reasons that it's hard, that they haven't sold tickets at high numbers for the national championship in Santa Clara is because it's in Santa Clara, and it's the home of the Pac-12, and they're out of it all the time. There's been a depression in the football market in the West Coast for years now. It's interesting to me. Can I just switch gears for one thing?
Sure.
The new golf rules
have
taken effect as of January 1st. We have our resident golf expert.
Thank you. Golf boy.
Yes.
According to Tori.
Is that what she calls you on the air? Golf boy?
Yes. It's a rules, Judge.
Wow. So what are the new rules that affect us all?
So in general, they're just to simplify the rules that have been in effect, speed up play. I think right now we only want to focus on the ones that might come up during the Tournament of Champions, which is out in Hawaii, and When these Sands were first,
out in Hawaii for 3 weeks.
When Ooh. These were first announced, nice. You figured the ability for tour players to tap down any imperfection on the green would be the one that noticed or got the attention on TV. But no, it is Bryson DeChambeau, the mad scientist, putting with the flag in. So we currently have him leading the field in strokes gained putting. So that's just his putting relative to his position on the green to the tour average versus just taking the number of putts he might have for any given round. But it was pretty jarring to watch him leave the flagstick in for these putts. This is coming after Justin Thomas earlier in the week saying, I couldn't take myself seriously if I left the flagstick in for a putt to win the championship.
So this is because I'm not a good player and I'm not a good putter, I would take it out because I'd be afraid I'd bang the stick and it would go 8 feet the other way, that I'd have a better chance of getting it in if it was just a regular hole.
So well, I think it's a putt, though, not a chip. I mean,
I know,
that,
but
some
I,
of that depends on the style of putting. Like, if you're an aggressive putter, depends on the speed of the greens, the slope. How much speed does it have as it enters the cup? What sort of break do you have? When he first was talking about this rule and whether or not he'd putt with the flag sticking, he mentioned the coefficient of restitution, and he's trying to take course. Into consideration
what?
The sort of
the core, cap,
the size,
the core.
Yeah, the, core.
The coefficient of restitution.
Yes. Yeah.
He actually used that phrase.
Yes, he did. This the is a guy that uses a compass on a golf course, and as he's a, you think Keegan Bradley's crazy as he's walking to a shot. DeChambeau is muttering to his caddy about slope, angles, percent elevation as he's
now
approaching
Michael,
the ball.
There is. Go ahead.
Relevant question, and the rules changes. If I hit it into the clown's mouth, do I still get a free game?
What I'm wondering is what is going to happen when the first golfer says to his caddy, look, I'm going to leave the flag stick in. You're not going to get 10% anymore. You're going to get 8 because that's a fifth of what you
do. You're not really working.
No, so you saw yesterday, he's playing with Dustin Johnson. DJ is a pretty casual golfer. He is lost and essentially says at the beginning of the round, just let your caddy take care of the flag for the entire day, or else it's going to be who wants it in, who wants it out. And that's going to be what we need to watch going forward. I texted Gary because Spike is a big DeChambeau fan. Spike is still learning the game of golf, learning the way he wants to play. What's going to happen when you go to junior tournaments and these kids are, someone's taking it out for a 15-footer, someone's putting it back in for an 8-footer, someone misses that 8-footer, wants it out, and then you're putting it back in for a tap-in.
It's chaos is what it is, Michael. It's chaos.
We've lost the game.
The center cannot hold.
Coefficient of restitution. Yeah. That's a good name for a rock and roll band.
Is it still within the rules to push it into the fairway when it's in the rough?
Winter rules. Winter rules.
Yeah, so I do a lot of that.
Push it, Judge?
Yeah, I push it.
Push it real good.
Or throwing
push
it from the woods.
Good.
I have one final story for Mr. Tony.
Yes.
This, of course, comes from Florida because it is Friday. And this event occurred on Christmas Eve. We did not get to talk about it whilst we were on vacation. An unidentified man told police he wanted to time travel. So how did he do this? He got in his Dodge Challenger on his
it's
strip
always
mall.
A Dodge Challenger, isn't it?
In Pensacola, sped through
it. Oh, wait, it's in Florida.
Flux capacitor.
Yeah.
Right. Flux capacitor.
Trying to get to 1.21 gigawatts. sped through the traffic light at the intersection of North Davis and West Fairfield Drive.
Oh, yeah.
At around 10:50 a.m., traveled through the front entrance of Advanced Tax Services. The car barreled through the center of the building, coming to a stop outside the double doors of the building's rear entrance. Did not actually travel through time.
Did he immediately jump out of the door and go, what year is it?
Yes, he did. The driver, who's not been identified, but we will call him Marty, was uninjured, taken to a local facility for evaluation. Charges not yet been filed. We will update you as the story progresses.
Fantastic. So we will take a break. When we come back, we will have Old Guy Radio. Allegedly, James Carville will join us to pick a game or two.
Yes.
And Jeff Ma will tell us what he's thinking at the moment. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio. This is in honor of the passing of Daryl Dragon yesterday. This is the Captain and Tennille with the biggest hit they ever had, Love Will Keep Us Together. I can't stand the song personally, but
I was going to say,
I can't.
It's been in my head for about 24 hours now.
Yeah, I mean, I think every once in a while in the area of critical commentary, every once in a while you have to do something that's honorific. And, and this was their biggest hit. She was a fine singer. He was a wonderful musician. He toured with the Beach Boys for a long time.
Yeah.
And he wrote a lot of good songs. This once this gets in your head,
it's there.
Much like fungus on your arm, it's very hard to get
rid of. I assume if anyone would know this, one of you would. The genesis of the captain.
The hats.
The nickname.
Mike Love gave it to him from the Beach Boys because he wore those nautical hats every once in a while. They called him captain.
And this is not their song.
No.
Neil Sedaka.
Neil Sedaka and Howard Greenfield.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Anyway, let me also mention that Uriel Casas is here, and I didn't see him before.
Uriel.
The greatest trainer in the world.
Oh, hey, Uriel.
But he refused to become visible for us. James Carville joins us now. James was 0-2 the last time he picked. He is just under the magic mountain of 500 at 15, 16, and 1. You have four playoff games to choose from and the national championship. What would you like this week, James?
I would like, what's the Ravens Chargers line?
Here we go.
Ravens Chargers line.
2.5 to 3, so pick your side.
Yeah.
I'll take 3 in the Chargers.
You're going to take the Chargers +3.
Yeah. And in the Seattle-Dallas line?
Hey, James, I'm sorry. What's your thinking on that? On that Ravens game? Yeah.
The Chargers were a little tapered off a little bit toward the end of the year.
They did.
Philip Rivers,
but
especially.
I thought they're a really, really pretty good team, and I like Philip Rivers a lot, they're getting 3 points.
They're 7-1 on the road this year, James. 7-1 on the road.
And a lot of teams. We were the same way when we won the Super Bowl. A lot of teams are good for the first 14 weeks, and then, they get in the playoffs, they slack off a little bit kind of thing, maybe. I'm hoping. But I like the Chargers a lot. And Seattle-Dallas is what?
It's 1.5 somewhere. I'm seeing a lot of 2.
2. Seattle +2.
Right. Okay, take Dallas. Get by the hook, get it, get it.
All right, we'll get you to 1.5.
Dallas' defense is good. It's good in Dallas.
No question.
You have no problem with that? You have no problem with the fact that Dallas is one of those teams that is largely overrated every single year?
Well, as Chuck Todd pointed out to us yesterday, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll versus Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott.
Yeah, but you're going to take Dallas. Okay.
I'm going to take Dallas because there's somebody on the other side of the ball.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they play defense.
One side don't get to play. The other side gets to play, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, no one told the Dallas defense that, for the last, 30 years, your team's been overrated because they call the Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas defense is good. It's solid. It's solid. Who do you like that? Yeah. I'm not going to make you bet this if you don't want to, but who do you like in the college championship?
Alabama. But not by much. I mean, Clemson. The thing is, last night I was watching this show. You said exactly the same thing I did. People come, why don't you have 8 teams in there? Why?
No.
So another 6 can get the crap beat out of them?
That's it.
Wasn't any good compared to these guys.
Yeah, they're the two best teams. Don't expand it. Don't dilute it further.
I mean, maybe there'll be another year to argue we should have more teams in the playoffs. This is not the year to argue that we need more teams to play.
Not at
all. We have the two best teams in college football.
Without question. So you're just going to pick two?
The SEC West is going to get nothing but stronger. We have the good news is we have the number 3 recruiting class in the country. The bad news, we're number 3 in the SEC West.
So I said this the other day on this show. I was happy that LSU beat Central Florida. Happy. Because if Central Florida wants to compete for a national championship, go join a big boy conference and prove it there. That's my position.
We were 3 touchdowns better than them. I mean, we just were. I mean, a courageous program and, it's upstart and, this and that. They were not. And they had the quarterback out. We had 7 people on defense.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, it's better.
All right, so these are your 2 today?
That's my 2.
We'll talk to you when the Saints enter the playoffs. Thank you, James.
You bet. All right.
James Carville, boys and girls. Using a good phone today.
Yeah, very good phone. Very subdued. A lot of one-word answers from James.
James
today.
Brevity being the soul of wit there. Yeah.
So now, can I mention something while you're trying to get Jeff Ma on the phone? There's an opportunity here at Chatter for an artist, for local artists.
Mm.
We have downstairs in the hallway towards the bathrooms, we have about a 40-foot expanse, 40 feet wide, and about 4 feet high. Very famously in Washington, there are portraits outside Ben's Chili Bowl, very famously so. In Washington as well, there are portraits of Marilyn Monroe on Connecticut Avenue And on 18th Street, there's one of Toulouse-Lautrec, I believe. We want anybody's a local artist, because you've got to come in here and do it. Send us your sketch as to what you would do. It can be a cityscape. It can be anything you want it to be. I don't care. I'm going to give you
some ideas. It might be hard to get a sketch ready that quick.
Right on the wall. Just have the wall.
On the wall.
Mural style.
On the wall. A mural on the wall. 40 feet by 4 feet. It's yours.
Mount Rushmore.
It's yours.
Me, Gary, you pick the other two.
You that's like on a censure's body, you know?
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah,
Tony on the porch, shaking fist, yelling, get off my lawn.
Something pleasing. Something pleasing where people walk downstairs through... towards the bathrooms and say, wow, that looks good.
That makes that me thirsty.
You want
a $1 million bill?
No, don't want anything like that. Well, damn. I don't know what I want. I want to look at him first. Anyway, is Jeff with us?
Yes.
Jeff Ma closed last week 4-0-1. For the year, if you bet exclusively with Jeff Ma, you're 40-33-6, so you're making money. His podcast is called Bet the Process. Rufus is involved in that, but Rufus is not on this show. Jeff is on this show, okay? Jeff, what do you got for us?
I think we're going to have to go recheck that. I think I was 5-0.
Were you 5-0?
We had Philly minus. I think we had you at Philly minus 2.
I thought
it was minus 1.5. It was minus 1.5 when we did the show, I think. But we'll go back and check.
We'll go back and check and let us know, because if you were 5-0, then you're 41-33-5. It's even better. Yeah. Even better. Okay, so what do you want now?
Well, we're in an era of revisionist history anyways. We get to make
why do we have to go back, Tony? Why don't we just call him 41-33-5?
He's 100-0, thank you very much.
Go ahead, what do you got?
All right, I'm going to start with Houston -1 over Indy. It surprised me when I ran the numbers that I liked Houston in this game. I actually thought that I'd like Indy. Indy opened like a 3-point underdog, 2.5-point underdog, and they've been a very, very...
Okay, are we on now?
Yes.
Let me explain what happened. Jeff was picking, at the moment, Jeff was picking Houston -1 against Indianapolis when all the power went off. And we have had a duration of not even three minutes. So our power is back on. The people here would know that the power was off, and they would call the newspapers. And they would say they're lying to you. So we don't lie. It's transparent. All right, Jeff, go ahead. You were running numbers on Houston and Indianapolis. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know, and it surprised me that I liked Houston -1. Indy opened as a pretty big, not a pretty big, but as a much bigger underdog, 2.5-3 points, and has been a lot of money on Indy. They're a very popular dog here. But I think Houston's a better team. I think now that the line's -1, I definitely like the value here. Indy obviously has had to work very hard, last week to get here. And I like Houston just simply more or less to win this game at -1.
Okay. Anything else this week? Because it's a limited field. You don't have to pick everything.
I'm going to have 3 more picks. So
okay.
Diego,
yeah.
+3 over Baltimore. This has been an interesting game because I think every analytical system will tell you that San Diego should either be favored in this game or that this game should pretty much be even. So there's a lot of value here. Now, the interesting thing here is there was a pretty interesting article by Kevin Clark on The Ringer who kind of talked about how San Diego's defense is sort of built to stop the modern NFL, which Baltimore is not, and Baltimore presents sort of this interesting amount of dilemmas for teams that haven't seen them before. But now San Diego has seen them before. This is the first time Baltimore will play a team twice since they've gone to the Lamar Jackson era. And I think San Diego is simply a better team. I like getting the 3 points here. I think they are going to be able to win this game outright.
This is interesting. We all refer to them as San Diego. They are the Los Angeles Chargers. We all refer to them as San Diego, especially with Philip Rivers there because he's been there for 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What else?
I like that you didn't even stop me. You just let me go.
We knew what you were talking about.
What else you got?
And then Seattle +2 over Dallas. Another game where I think the wrong team is favored. I think Seattle is the better team. I think Dallas, they've had a nice run. Their defense has played well. Their offense is still pretty pedestrian. And, I think Seattle is a team that sort of has played possum from time to time. And I simply like them in the spot better than Dallas, and I think the numbers will tell you that this line should be closer to even.
Okay.
So, and then finally, I'm going to give you a pick on the college football championship. We've been talking all year about this sort of collision that's going to happen. And again, most analytical systems have Clemson and Bama as pretty close to even. And I think one thing that surfaced last week and surfaced against Georgia with Bama was something that people worried about at the beginning of the year, which was that their defense was pretty pedestrian. Their offense was pretty solid. They played well, pretty well against an Oklahoma team that was historically, they say, the second best offense ever. But I do think they're going to have some trouble against Clemson, and I do think Clemson's defense is better than Bama's defense, even without Dexter Lawrence. So I think getting 5 points here, and I think if you like Clemson in this game and want to bet it, I think you can wait, because I think that the line may go back up, and I don't think it going down to 4.5 or 4 is that big a deal. So I like Clemson plus the 5 versus Bama.
They were getting 6 yesterday, so that's been bet down, in 24 hours. Clemson, they played a bunch. They play close games, yeah. Right, Jeff? They play close games.
Yeah, no, they're a very good team, and they play close games, but they also play they've blown a lot of teams out, similar to Alabama, and for some reason, Alabama has been the team that everyone has focused on, but Clemson has had a pretty incredible season also.
Okay, thank you, Jeff, and Jeff's podcast is called Bet the Process, and we recommend that highly, and Jeff, we will look in to your claim that it was 1.5. We thought we gave you Philadelphia plus 2. That's what we thought. Or minus, whatever it was. We thought it was 2, not 1.5. But we will see. Thank you, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Well, why is Jeff on a 10-second delay?
He is always on a delay.
Yeah. Why is he on a delay?
I wonder, is he doing it via the internet somehow? He is always, yeah. It is always a 1.5-second. It's like
That's very weird.
Yes, yeah.
I have a theory. It might not be popular. I just think he's not very bright, so it takes some time to register that MIT education.
Yeah. His stacks of cash would argue against that.
We'll take a break, and we will come back with Jingle and email when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony's mailbag, got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag, we're gonna read some for all of you folks. La cheeserie.
Beautiful.
That's David Dalabrida, Fort Mill, South Carolina, with his homage to Gary's mailbag theme.
Beautiful version.
Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report, James Carville, Jeff Ma, host of the podcast Bet the Process, for coming on the show today. Let me thank today's sponsors, Purell and Lowe's. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen through iTunes, please leave us a review. We have in the audience today a man in a Philadelphia Eagles sweatshirt who brought us wild honey, live wild honey from the bees that he keeps. And I said, do you get stung? And he says, all the time. And I go, you have to be nuts to do this. But thank you for the honey. So we have
very kind
wild honey.
Hey, boo-boo.
From John in Tulsa, listening to Monday's show, it was a delight to hear Tony describe driving on I-95 in Florida. About 6 weeks ago, I posted on Facebook that the worst indictment of my driving is that I was totally comfortable on the 95 International Speedway. And while I didn't come in first, I was in contention. I was driving from Fort Lauderdale to see the in-laws in Daytona after getting off a Princess cruise that took us to the Dutch ABC islands of Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. And yes, it was the cruise where a murder happened. Some man allegedly strangled a woman on one of the upper decks, then allegedly threw her over the side, where she definitely didn't make it all the way to the water. Ooh. Instead, landing on one of the lifeboats, which caused part of her body to splatter back onto the boat.
Come on.
The scariest part, we have no idea even to this day if anyone was arrested for this, because neither the Aruba police, the Dutch authorities, nor the FBI has released any information. So we may have completed our cruise next to a violent psychopath with terrible aim. Also, despite Social media posts to the contrary. During the visit with the in-laws, I never said I was envious of the woman. P.S. No hush money or other discounted offer yet. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Isn't Aruba fantastic. Where the
yes.
teen
yeah.
girl went
yes.
missing
Natalie
the
most?
Yoron yes. Vandersloot
yes.
thing?
Yes. yes. Kevin in Northeast, I saw my doctor Wednesday afternoon. I was prescribed a medication that came with a few recommendations, one of which was to avoid prolonged exposure to the sun. I looked my doctor dead in the eye and in a probably louder than necessary voice bellowed, "Have you not been outside during any of 2018? Please tell Michael it's probably raining again." Charlie Burtz in Springfield, Virginia. Is it just me or is Chuck missing out on an obvious podcast opportunity? Nowhere else could one find a weekly combo of bedding and toilet paper than the over-under with Chuck Todd.
Mm-hmm.
From Todd Brickner, Dr. Hoff Waff, Todd Berkner, rather, left contact, don't right contact. Okay, huh. okay. He's in Adamstown, Maryland. Ron Rushworth in Charleston, West Virginia. We have somebody from Charleston, South Carolina here as well. After listening to your story about purchasing women's sunglasses, all I can think of is you should be thankful that it wasn't your underwear you forgot to pack.
Oh,
you know,
ouch.
I would have known that.
Would you have?
Owen from Los Angeles. Hello, Tony. Tonight, 7 p.m., TBS, Seinfeld episode, The Glasses.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So good.
George buys the
so
lady's
we can
glasses.
See that.
Boom.
Sylvester Bush in Chicago. Bonjour. I'm not sure what my life has become. I just changed the toilet paper roll. I victoriously emerged from the bathroom, not realizing that I had said or let alone yelled anything at all. A moment later, the woman to whom I'm not yet related by marriage asked me, "Who is Chuck Todd and what could you possibly be telling him to eat?" from Chris Killen, I agree with your statement that bowling alley French fries are the best. Have you ever had chili from a ski resort? It is simply the best. Oh. Tell Wilbon. From Mark Daly in Wellington, New Zealand.
Wow.
How about that?
So Chris Salamisa likes Josh Ritter. Yeah. A redeeming feature. Who knew? I suggest a Music at Chatter podcast hosted by Barry Zwerluga with Chris as a very occasional guest. From Ari Motichin in New York City. I want to echo the sentiment expressed the other day's mailbag that is truly great when Jeannie is on the show. In fact, let's take a minute to appreciate the amazing people who provide the show with a female perspective. Jeannie, for her remarkable intelligence. Liz, for the depths of her wisdom. Tori, for her humor and her amazing stories.
Joke.
And Saliza, for his seat. Ooh, the napkin.
Saw that coming.
Yeah.
Ryan Keene in Hoboken, New Jersey. Listening to your show from Hoboken, New Jersey. Today's show conjured up thoughts on the greatest golf food known to man and the lobster lunch at National Golf Links of America. If you haven't had it, and I'm sure Maury has to be the greatest golf meal in America and abroad. Do wear white. We're going to National. Michael, we have had that.
Make sure you bring a jacket.
Bring a sport jacket. We have had that. That's wonderful. It's really good. Oh, Sylvester Bush has another one. Recently, you read an email from someone mysteriously named A. Benson, a suggestion to the identity. Maybe it was Robert Guillaume. And since nobody born after 1981 will get that reference, I parenthetically add, eat it, millennials. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Don't talk back to me, all right?
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Hey.
This is a year-by-year home run totals of the Great Barry Bonds. This is a year-by-year home run totals of the Great Barry Bonds. In 1986, he hit 16 home runs. Then 25, 24, 19, 33. 25, 34, 46, 37, 33, 42, 40, 37, 34, and 49. 73, 46, 45, 45. 5, 26, 28. This is the year-by-year home run totals of the Great Barry Bonds. This is the year-by-year home run totals of the Great Barry Bonds. He won the MVP in 1990, 1992, and 93. And 01, and 02, and 03, and 04. This is the year-by-year home run totals of the Great Barry Bonds. This is the year-by-year home run totals of the Great Barry Bonds. In 1986, he hit 16 home runs. Then 25, 24, 19, 33. 25, 34, 46, 37, 33, 42, 40, 37, 34, and 49. 73, 46, 45, 45. 5, 26, 28.
26-28. This is the year-by-year home run totals of the Great Barry Bonds. This is the year-by-year home run totals of the Great Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds, Barry Bonds. Maybe feel like a child. I turn it up real loud to the top of the dial. With all of my lungs, I sang all the words I was thinking of you in my favorite verse. I remember the day it was always me on the arm of your chair. We would watch TV, never knowing the score. I was 5 years old. I was happy to be your remote control. Way before this technical age, rabbit isn't in full, was all we needed to play. Always looking at you, I was on command. You would give me a cue, and I would always land. On my feet, I could fly across the carpeted plain. Change the channel for you, I was back again. I never asked what for, I did what I was told. I was your right hand and your remote control. Every show you liked, every Sunday with you was always black and white. When the credits would roll, I knew what to do. If the static was on, I kicked the side of the tube. Mom would pop us some corn, would make it a meal. I was in your arms, I was always thrilled just to be there with you and that big bowl. I was happy to be your remote control. I'll be right back. The turn of a phrase was the news in a flash. I would say it to you and make you laugh. You thought it was cute, but I was growing up fast. Forward the reel, I'm driving home. The same old chairs, now an empty throne. The picture is sad, the volume is low. I wish I could be your remote control.